May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from the gospel reading, the parable of the prodigal son. You may be seated. Dear saints, throughout Lent, we've heard a lot about repentance in our readings from the lectionary. That's just the nature of the season, I suppose. We hear John calling sinners to repentance in the desert. We hear of the coming day of judgment. And we hear how our Lord desires that all would turn from their evil ways and turn back to Him in repentance. And today, our gospel reading is also a story of repentance, but more of a word picture, if you will, a picture of what it means to be penitent, and, most importantly, a picture of what it means to be forgiven. The parable is easy enough to interpret. You've probably heard it hundreds of times. The father in the parable represents our Lord. The Pharisees and their attitude are represented by the elder brother at the end of the story. And of course, the penitent sinner is represented in the younger son. While our lives likely look like the older brother sometimes and the younger brother at other times, I want you to first consider yourselves in the shoes of the older brother. Are you ever self-righteous? Have you ever wished that God would unleash his wrath on those people? Have you ever been jealous of the blessings that our Lord gives to fellow brothers and sisters in the faith? This brother had everything. He knew well his father's mercy and grace, but didn't recognize what he had been given, and certainly didn't want to share anything with that no good brother of his. We too may be comfortable with what we have, hesitant to give an inch to others who are different from us in some way, leery of those who we might consider to be worse sinners than ourselves. Now think of yourself as the younger brother. Have you ever run from God? Have you ever squandered his gifts? Have you ever wished God would just leave you alone? Have you ever thought, I just wish God were dead? If so, you may identify with this younger brother, the prodigal son, as he's called. He wanted his inheritance now. Unfortunately, Dad wasn't dead yet. But as crazy as it was, as inconvenient as it must have been, the father divided his property and gave the inheritance to each of his sons as they were due. Without so much as a thank you, the youngest son takes off, goes and does his own thing. After squandering the inheritance that he demanded he be given, after going hungry and being reduced to wallowing in the slop feeding pigs, the younger brother sought to earn his way back into his father's good graces. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. That's what he planned to say. Certainly, a betrayal as great as his, such a complete lack of regard for his father, and even for his inheritance, would require some amount of penance, some amount of repayment. He had to do something to earn back his father's favor, even simply to be counted as a servant. He had a plan. At least, if he were received as a servant, that would be better than the situation he currently found himself in. Perhaps he could even at some point in the future repay his father for at least some of the inheritance that he had squandered. Have you ever tried to make a similar deal with God? You see God as sort of quid pro quo. God, if you do this for me, I promise that I will do that for you. But that's not what absolution is That's not what forgiveness is. We have nothing to give to God. There is no bargain to be made. We may pledge to God many good things, our finest and most impressive good works, but those will not earn us back into God's good graces. For our best works are like filthy rags. We are beggars. It is true. If the prodigal's absolution were conditioned on the prodigal, well, then it wouldn't be grace, would it? And what of this father? Foolish enough to give away everything that he had before he died, and yet waiting day and night for this son to return, looking to the horizon where he saw his son depart, expecting, hoping that somehow he will see him coming back. He didn't know if he was dead or alive. After all, while his son was still far off, he sees him. And once he sees him, he doesn't just stand back and wait like the Pharisees who would walk slowly through the marketplace, waiting for people to come to them and say how great they were. No, he runs. He takes off and he runs to his son. And before the son can say a word, he embraces him. He kisses him. The fattened calf has been prepared just for this moment. The best robe is brought, the family ring, and shoes for his feet. The son starts to speak, admits his sin, but doesn't even get a chance to float this great idea of his to become a servant. He's cut off mid-sentence. The grace came too fast. The absolution was too absolute. The forgiveness too complete. Despite what has happened in the eyes of the Father, the status of the Son is unchanged. The Son is still his Son. All the gifts that he has squandered are still available to him. Contrast that with the Son, with the Son of God. Jesus, who obeyed his Father's will, bore no malice toward anyone, was sinless in thought, word, and deed, received the wrath of his Father, the wrath that we deserved, was abandoned by him, was shown no mercy, and died on a cross in order that your status with the Father might be the same as that of the prodigal son. Though your good works are not enough to restore you, Christ's good works are enough. You are God's beloved child, for Jesus' sake. In your baptismal robe of Christ's righteousness, you stand before our Father completely and wholly and perfectly acceptable to him. You've been given the family ring, all the rights as heirs of the king, for you are brothers and sisters of each other and of our Lord Christ. The prodigal son, dead and alive again. Jesus, dead and alive again. And you, dead and alive again. Lost and found. In the prodigal son, we do indeed see a picture of repentance. The son came to himself, we are told. We might say it came to his senses. When life looked bleak, when hope was gone, when cynicism had set in, when he realized that he had no one to blame but himself, he knew someone. He knew a father that hadn't batted an eye when he asked for the inheritance. He knew a place where the servants were treated very well. Perhaps groveling. Perhaps if he went back on his hands and knees, he just might receive mercy. Perhaps if he put this life behind him, this life of lavish and reckless living, a life that was now one of poverty and misery, maybe he could find a new one. Maybe he could find a new life. So he turned. He turned away from where he was and turned back toward his father. He went where he expected there would be mercy and grace. And mercy and grace were indeed waiting, but more than he could have imagined. Grace was waiting with open arms. Grace that demanded nothing. Grace that gave everything. Grace that welcomed home a sinner, even one as wretched as he. Grace that lavished the finest gifts imaginable upon the sinner. Grace that welcomed as a child. Grace that served rather than demanding to be served. And so too for you, there is only grace. Where we would be right to expect judgment and punishment, there is instead absolution. Instead of wallowing in self-pity with the swine, there's music and dancing. Instead of eating food only fit for pigs, there's the fattened calf and a lavish feast. Instead of dying in the drought of the wilderness, there are the life-giving waters of your baptism. Instead of dismissal, you and I sinners are received by our Lord and eat and drink at his table. That is absolution. Perfect and complete acceptance in the presence of God for Christ's sake. No matter what we've been or where we've been, it is freedom to feast on the life-giving body and blood of the Son. It is freedom to serve your neighbor in love even as our Father serves you. It is freedom to reject the ways of the world that would have you squander your wealth on this gadget or that experience, or squander your time in useless endeavors, or squander your talents only to serve yourself. Instead, you're invited to reflect Christ's mercy and love and grace to others. It is freedom to throw off those old grudges. It is freedom to suffer for what is right, knowing that in the life to come, you will feast at the Father's eternal banquet in the mansions of heaven. Rejoice, you sons and daughters of the Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.